Well, no, it's either open or closed. Half open doesn't do anything. Anyway, we'll start with it open and see how things go. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Text number 5 of chapter 14. Sattvam,
sattvam,
rajas,
rajas,
tama,
tama,
iti,
iti,
guna,
guna,
prakriti,
prakriti,
sambhava,
sambhava,
nibadhanti,
nibadhanti,
mahabaho,
mahabaho,
dehe,
dehe,
dehinam,
dehinam,
avyayam,
avyayam,
sattvam rajas tama iti,
sattvam rajas tama iti,
guna prakriti sambhava, nibadhanti mahabaho,
nibadhanti mahabaho,
dehe dehinam avyayam,
dehe dehinam avyayam,
sattvam rajas tama iti,
sattvam rajas tama iti,
guna prakriti sambhava, nibadhanti mahabaho,
nibadhanti mahabaho,
dehe dehinam avyayam,
dehe dehinam avyayam, sattvam rajas tama iti,
sattvam rajas tama iti,
guna prakriti sambhavaha,
guna prakriti sambhavaha,
nibadhanti mahabaho,
nibadhanti mahabaho,
dehe dehinam avyayam,
dehe dehinam avyayam.
Sattvam
rajas tama iti,
guna prakriti sambhava,
nibadhanti mahabaho,
dehe dehinam avyayam. Anybody wants to repeat? Anjan.
Sattvam rajas tama iti,
guna karuni sambhavaha, nibadhanti mahabaho, dehe dehinam avyayam.
Anyone else? Sattvam,
sattvam,
the mode of goodness.
Mode of goodness.
Rajaha,
rajaha,
the mode of passion.
Mode of passion.
Tamaha,
tamaha,
the mode of ignorance.
The mode of ignorance.
Iti,
iti,
thus,
thus.
Gunaha,
gunaha,
the qualities.
The qualities.
Prakriti,
prakriti,
material nature.
Material nature.
Sambhavaha,
sambhavaha,
produced of. Nibadhanti,
nibadhanti,
due condition.
Due condition.
Mahabaho,
mahabaho,
O mighty armed one.
O mighty armed one.
Dehe,
dehe,
in this body.
In this body.
Dehinam,
dehinam,
the living entity.
Living entity.
Avyayam,
avyayam,
eternal.
Eternal.
Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. Purport. The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned by the material world, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because living entities have different kinds of bodies, in terms of the different aspects of nature, they are induced to act according to that nature. This is the cause of the varieties of happiness and distress. Om Jnana Timiran Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Tathati Svapadamikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamadam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Gaganatam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Panu Sule Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpataru Vyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Pandidana Pavarevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sattvam Rajastam Iti Guna Prakriti Sambhavaha Nibadnanti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinamavyu. In this chapter, Lord Krishna discusses Gunatrayavipad, the different modes of material nature, three modes of material nature. In the previous verse, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma Tasmin Bharvam Dadamyam Sambhava Sarvabhutanam Tato Bhavati Bhavati. The material nature has been described, Mama Yoni, as being the womb for the birth of the living entities. Tasmin Garbham Dadamya. Just as in this world, the father places the seed within the womb of the mother, and then the birth of the child can take place. Pregnancy takes place, and the child is born. So the Lord says, similarly, on the cosmic scale, the Mahadyoni, Mahad Brahma, the great total material substance, Prakriti, is the source of birth for all living beings. And I impregnate that Prakriti with the seeds of the living beings. Tasmin Garbham Dadami. So the comparison is made to the birth of the child. But the Lord's method for impregnating the material nature is different from the material method. Sa aikshita sa sridhita. The Lord creates pregnancy simply by his glance. As the Mahavishnu, he glances over the material nature. And that glance is powerful. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti. The Lord's senses are interchangeable. He can eat with his eyes. He can see with his eyes. He can create pregnancy with his eyes. The Lord can eat by hearing also. Or he can see by hearing. All of his senses are interchangeably powerful. Because the Lord is absolute. So the Lord, the devotee, is offering food to Krishna. And Krishna, simply by seeing the offering and hearing the prayers of the devotees, is eating the offering. Yes. Patram pushpam palam toyam yoma me patya priyashti tadaham patyu paritam ashnami prayatatma. The Lord says, I eat that offering. But we see practically that the offering doesn't disappear. You offer to Krishna, someone may say, but I've offered to Krishna, but the offering is still there. So how is he accepting the offering? But the Lord, being transcendental, accepts the offering with his eyes, with his ears. He doesn't need to devour it the way we do. And so the remnants are there for us as Krishna prasad. So similarly, the Lord impregnates the material nature just by glancing. Just by glancing. Even in the material world, our glance does something. You know, if we give an angry glance to someone, you know, our wife says something and we give her an angry glance, she becomes very quiet. Or maybe the husband says something and the wife glances at him. So the glancing has some power, but it only has a little power. Only a little power. But the Lord's glance is so powerful that simply by glancing at material nature, he creates pregnancy. The Lord never directly comes in touch with material nature. The demigods are in touch with material nature. They're involved in material nature. And even Lord Shiva is in touch with material nature. When Lord Vishnu glances at material nature, Lord Shiva carries that glance. And Lord Shiva is in touch with material nature. He's married to the material nature. His wife is the goddess of the material nature. So Lord Shiva has to be in touch with the material nature. But Lord Vishnu never is. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is always in the completely transcendental position. And Lord Shiva is in the almost transcendental position. He's practically in the position of Lord Vishnu, but not entirely, because he's in touch with material nature. So just as yogurt is different from milk, although it's just milk, it's changed by the addition of imli, tamarind, or by lemon, some sour substance, the milk is turned to curd. Still it's milk, but it can't completely perform all the functions of milk. And milk can be turned to curd, but you can't turn curd into milk. Well, milk is the original substance, and curd is milk, but transformed in a certain way by contact with something sour. So Lord Vishnu is always unaffected by contact with material nature, because he's never in contact with material nature. There's only a distant connection. He just glances. But Lord Shiva is directly in touch with material nature. And therefore there's some transformation, which places Lord Shiva in a position not quite on the same level as Lord Vishnu. They're one, but they're different also. Because Lord Vishnu is always beyond material contact, and Lord Shiva is within material contact. This is described in Shastra. So, anyway, Lord Vishnu remotely activates material nature by his glance, creating pregnancy by placing the seeds of the living entities within the material nature. Sarvayonishu konteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyoni aham bija kridati. So the material nature is the mother, and Lord Krishna says, I'm the seed-giving father, bija pradapita. The atheists think that material nature alone gives birth to the living beings. This is their foolishness. The nature alone can't give rise to living beings. Do we ever see any example where the scientist can point to it and say, this is a living being which has arisen completely from material nature without the involvement of any living being?
No.
Is there any such example? Then where's the science? They say that life comes from matter, but science means demonstration. And they've failed to demonstrate. Even one, Prabhupada said, I challenge them. Let them bring one tiny living being that they've created. Or they say life comes from matter, so you tell me what matter you require. Give us your list. These are the necessary ingredients. And we'll supply those ingredients, and you create life. A simple proposition. But can they do it? No. The living being can do it. The chicken will, mother chicken and father chicken will have a baby chicken, but the scientist, you give him something white, give him something yellow, he can't create an egg. So the material ingredients are not sufficient. Material ingredients. We can make a body. Scientists might construct a body. Here you take this ingredient and that ingredient. They can create, like a robot, some material body. But they can't infuse life into that. They had a project, artificial intelligence, for making computers into practically intelligent living beings. But the project has failed. The project has failed. They can imitate. That's another thing. You can make a computer imitate a living being. You can make a program, you press the button, and the computer can say, I feel hungry. But there's no one home, no one who's actually feeling hungry. Just some numbers are being transferred from one place to another place. Some code is being responded to. And so the computer can print out or speak out, I feel hungry. But there's no feeling. The computer never feels, where would be the feeling in the computer? The keyboard doesn't feel anything. Keyboard doesn't feel hungry. The screen doesn't feel hungry. The CPU doesn't feel hungry. No part of the computer feels hungry. But the living being will feel hunger. Living being will feel happiness. Living being will feel sadness. Living being will feel desire. Living being will feel detachment. Because these are symptoms of life. Thinking, the computer can supposedly think, but it doesn't think. It can imitate thinking when programmed by a living being. But it doesn't think. It's not self-conscious the way we are. The computer can't ask itself, why am I here? You can program it to ask, why am I here? But it doesn't have that impulse of self-exploration that the living self-consciousness that the living being has. The computer doesn't have desire. The computer doesn't say, I'm tired of working for you, I'm going to work for somebody else. I don't like it here. I don't like being on this shelf, put me on another shelf. Again, you can program these things, but the actual feeling of desire will not be there. Thinking, feeling, willing, these are symptoms of the living being. And although you can imitate them, these actual experiences are not available to the computer. Sariputta Prabhu, my godbrother, said you can put a light sensor on the computer and you can put a printer and you can program the computer to respond to a red light by saying, I see a red light. But the actual experience will not be there. Just the imitation, I see a red light. This has also been discussed. There's one philosopher, John Searle, who's given a famous example of the Chinese room. Want to know about the Chinese room example? There's a room. There's a room. And in that room, there's so many desks and so many people sitting at that desks. And they have a rule book. And the rule book says, when you see this character, translate it to that character. So on the one side of the room, there's a window and some people are putting in slips of paper in Chinese. Symbols. Every language is just symbols. They're putting in Chinese symbols. And the people at the desk are taking those symbols and comparing them to the rule book and giving to the other side, through another window, the output in English. So when you see a squiggle, squaggle, squiggle, you change that into a squaggle, squaggle. When you see raggy baggy, you change it into a traggy claggy. So there's some rules. So they follow the rules, and you get Chinese translated into English. Now, do any of the people in the room understand Chinese? No. Do all the people in the room, acting as a whole, taken as a whole, understand Chinese? No. But they can imitate a person who knows, a human translator, who actually knows Chinese, by following the rule book. That's all. So the computer can be programmed in that way. Here's the rule, here are the rules, follow the rules, produce from this input, that output. But there's no life. So the scientists are trying to create artificial life by computer. That project is a failure. They talk about creating life from matter. That's also a failure. They talk about life having come from matter. But that also they've not demonstrated. Nor can they show step by step how that happens. They can talk a good game in generalities. And for a person unfamiliar with the complexities of the specifics, it may seem very reasonable. Yes, yes, this happens and that happens. But in fact, the complexity required to take simple material elements and transform them into complex living beings defies even the limits of mathematics. There are mathematical rules about systems that limit what you can expect. And we can't expect to start out with a simple batch of material elements and a simple set of rules and expect to get the complexities of life. There are serious problems with this. Again, my godbrother Sariputta Prabhu has shown this. He's demonstrated it mathematically. Anyone who's proficient in mathematics can read his article and read the equations and see the demonstration. Apart from that, we just take it from Shastra. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that trying to get life from matter is like trying to get milk from the nipples on a goat's neck. You've all seen goats?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And on the goat, on the neck, some nipples are hanging, right? Now, if someone thinks, from those nipples I'll get milk, that's very foolish. That's very foolish. Similarly, someone is thinking, the scientists are thinking, we'll take some simple matter and we'll get life. So Kaviraj Goswami says they're very foolish. Nasato vidite bhavo na bhavo vidite. So from the Bhagavad Gita we understand that matter and life are two different kinds of substances. One is Krishna's superior energy, the living being, and the other is his inferior energy, material nature. Materially, everything comes and goes, but spiritually, life has no beginning and no end. The jayate va, mriyate va, kadachi. For the soul, there's neither birth nor death at any time. It always exists. And matter comes and goes. So they're categorically different, and we can't derive life from matter. The life comes from life. The one time Srila Prabhupada was challenged in Bombay, in 1977, just toward the end, he came to Bombay, and although he was very ill, he spoke and took questions also. And one man in the audience challenged, "Sir, can you prove by logic that there is God?" And Prabhupada said, "You do not know what is logic." And again the man, you know, sophisticated Bombay educated man, "Sir, can you prove by logic that there is God?" And again, Prabhupada said, "You do not know what is logic." And the man again put the same question in some other words, and Prabhupada again gave him the same answer, "You don't know what is logic." Prabhupada said, there's a mother, material nature. There are children, living entities. Therefore, there must be a father. That's logic. Now take it. That's logic. We never see that the mother alone gives birth to a child. The father is required. To think that the mother alone will give birth to the child is, or that matter alone will give birth to living entities, is elsewhere described by Kaviraj Goswami as the logic of the rice and the scorpions. The scorpion, someone sees that scorpions are crawling out of, on the dock there are some piles of rice, and some scorpions are seen crawling out of that rice. So the scientist thinks, the rice has produced the scorpion. But an experienced person knows that no, the father has impregnated the mother, and now the mother is giving birth to the scorpions. Not that the rice on itself will produce scorpions. So, tasmin garbham dadhamya sambhava sarvabhuta. Life is the presence of the living beings in material nature is made possible by Krishna. Aham bija pradapita. He gives the seed and Mother Nature provides the bodies. In this world also, the living being is present within the seed given by the Father. And the ingredients of the body are provided by the mother, from the body of the mother. So material nature provides the ingredients for the bodies of all the living beings. Sarva yonish. There are so many thousands of living beings, 8,400,000. And the ingredients for their bodies are provided by material nature. This body is a product of material nature. But the soul is placed within the body by the glance of Krishna. That glance doesn't create the living beings. Najayate, they have no birth. They're existing before the creation. At the time of universal destruction, they're absorbed within the body of Mahavishnu. And at the time of recreation, the Lord glances over material nature and again the living beings appear. Bhutva bhutva pravita. Material nature is created and destroyed and the living beings appear and disappear. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Avyakta adini bhutani avyakta madhyani parata. Avyakta nidananyeva tatrakapadideva. The living being appears and disappears, and in the middle he's manifest. Just like in the present body. At first we weren't seen, no one knows where we were. Then we take birth, and we're seen. And then we die, and again, unseen. And we're coming and going, we're in this body for some time. But before that, we were somewhere else. After that, we'll be someplace else. So living beings enter into the cosmic creation when the Lord glances over material nature after the creation of the cosmic manifestation. And when everything is destroyed at the end of Brahma's life, living beings are absorbed into the body of the Lord again and again become unmanifest during the until the next creation. What is that? Yes, yaika nishta sita kala matava lambya jivanti loma divanta. When Brahma is born, then he creates the bodies of the living beings are manifest. And at the end of Brahma's life, again, they're unmanifest. Udva, udva. So material nature is providing these bodies in so many species of life. And this material nature has three gunas, or qualities. Sattvam, rajas, and tamas. Goodness, passion, and bigness. And the living beings are born in different forms according to these modes of nature. Srila Prabhupada describes these three modes of nature as being like three different colors. We have three primary colors, yellow, blue, and red. And by combination of these three colors only, you get so many different varieties of color. Just from these three. So from these three modes of material nature, we get so many varieties of living beings manifested in different species of life. Sattvam rajas tameti guna prakriti sambhava. Material nature manifests these three gunas, or qualities, or modes. And nibhavanti mahabhava dehe dehinamavyam. And the living being, although he's eternal, avyayam, inexhaustible, let's see how the prophet says here. Eternal, yes. Although he's eternal, he's placed within the body, which is not eternal. Nibbananti, and he becomes bound or conditioned by the body in which he's placed. Just like a child. The child can't do what an adult can do. Right? You're not going to do what your father can do. Because you have this body. The child's body, he has to act like a child. Because the body is different. And the father, as an adult, will act differently. Because the body is different. And when the father becomes old, again, different. The child can eat very heartily, right? But the old man can't eat very much. Because the body is different. Apart from that, everybody is different. Man's body will act in one way. Woman's body will act in another way. The bird body will act in another way. We might think, I would love to fly. But we can't just flap our arms and expect to take off. But the bird can do it very easily. Because the bird has a different body. We like to eat certain foods. The bird likes to eat different food. Pig likes to eat different food. The horse, again, different food. The cow, different food. Tiger, different food. Because the body is different, but the soul is the same. The atma, or the soul, or consciousness within the body is of the same nature, of one nature. But according to the body he's in, he has to act differently. If he's a dog, he has to bark. If he's a bird, he has to sing. If he's a lion, he has to roar. The bird can't roar, the lion can't sing like a bird. Because the body is different. Nibbananti. One is forced to act according to the body, and the body is constituted according to some combination of these three qualities of material nature. Asango Hiyam Purusha, the living being, actually has nothing to do with material nature. Because his real nature is transcendental. But when he tries to enjoy this material nature, then he becomes attached. He thinks, I have something to do with this material world. This is called ahankar. False ego. He falsely identifies himself with matter and tries to enjoy matter. He falsely identifies himself, I'm an American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm young, I'm old, I'm this, I'm that. And because of identifying with material nature, he's placed in a body made of material nature and forced to act according to the impulses born of material nature. And this goes on from one lifetime to the next. Purusha prakriti sto hi punkte prakriti jan guna karanam guna sangasya sadasad yoni jan. The living entity is situated in material nature and trying to enjoy the various items for sense enjoyment produced from the three qualities of material nature. In this way, he becomes associated with material nature. If we want to enjoy something, we have to associate it. You can't enjoy cake just from a distance. You have to associate, come in touch with that cake. You have to put it in your mouth. Let the tongue come in touch with it. There has to be that association. A man and woman enjoy sense gratification when they associate. The living entity wants to enjoy the material nature. So he becomes associated with material nature. But he can't remain transcendental. Lord Vishnu glances over the material nature, but he's not affected by material nature. Even when Lord Krishna comes to this material world, janma karma cha me divyam, he remains transcendental. But when we come in touch with matter, we become conditioned. Because Krishna is very great, and we're very small. The sky can never be covered by the clouds, but a small portion can be covered by the clouds. So the Lord is great. He'll never be covered by material nature. We're very small. We can easily be covered. So the Lord is always transcendental. But we become conditioned in different ways according to the modes of material nature that we've acquired. We associate with material nature in different ways, and we become infected. So the way a person becomes infected by some disease, we become infected by these qualities of material nature, or as water becomes polluted by different kinds of elements, we become polluted by, our pure consciousness becomes polluted by these three modes of material nature. Guna also means rope. One is bound by a rope. And one rope one may break, but when a rope has three strands, it becomes very powerful. On the docks, we see that the ropes, the ships, are tied to the dock by ropes made of three. Right? you won't see there's only one strand, but they twist three. And a threefold rope is not easily broken. But we're conditioned by these three modes. Someone is conditioned by ignorance, someone is conditioned by passion, someone by goodness, and actually all of us are conditioned by all three modes in different proportions. Some it's more goodness with less ignorance and some passion, just like they specify colors. 30% this, 20% that, 50% this, so many different percentages. So some percentage of goodness, some percentage of passion, some percentage of ignorance. And the percentages may change also. So sometimes the mode of goodness takes over and passion and ignorance are less. Sometimes ignorance takes over and passion and goodness are less. Sometimes passion takes over. Then goodness and ignorance become less. So they're always competing or always mixing in different ways. And in this way we're conditioned. In very, like these tight ropes of material nature. Nibbananti mahava. Dehe dehe. We've acquired this body with certain characteristics according to the modes of material nature. And according to that nature, there'll be a certain kind of food that we like, there'll be a certain kind of religious activities that we'll perform, a certain kind of knowledge that we'll have, a certain kind of so many things. According to the three. So we see a person in the mode of goodness eats healthy food which is fresh and pure and gives strength and satisfaction. A person in the mode of passion wants food that's really hot, really salty, really sour, really sweet. He wants a taste sensation. So when it's burning hot, he says, wow, it's so hot. And when it's very salty, it's so salty. In the mode of passion, he likes that kind of food. And in the mode of ignorance, food that's stale, rotten, smelly, impure, contaminated, the remnants of the food that other people have eaten. Prasadam, that's different. Food, Mahaprasadam, food first taken by a saintly person. But just pick up old food out of the garbage can and eat that after someone else has thrown it away. The crows do that. And people in the mode of ignorance. Or drinking alcohol, which is rotten, really. Or they take cheese, and people in the mode of ignorance become very happy when they get cheese, which is blue because it has mold in it, because it's been sitting there being cured for 60 years, and smells from the other side of the house. They take it as a great delicacy. Because they're conditioned by the mode of ignorance, they think it's nice. A person in the mode of goodness will think it's disgusting. Person in ignorance will think that the food enjoyed by the person in the mode of goodness is bland, unexciting, because he's conditioned in a different way. Even the person in the mode of goodness is conditioned to the particular food he likes, the particular view of the world. He's conditioned to living in the forest or living very simply. And he thinks, my life is nice. I'm living in the forest. I'm living simply. That's also material. So these three modes of material nature are conditioned. The living beings who come in touch with nature. The living being comes in touch with nature to enjoy nature, but instead he becomes captured. Just like some man wants to enjoy a woman and becomes captured by that woman, controlled by that, just like Julius Caesar, Mark Antony. Mark Antony wanted to enjoy Cleopatra, but he became like a little dancing dog in the hands of the woman. Thought he would enjoy. Instead, actually, he became disgraced because he became controlled by the nature of that woman. And there are many contemporary examples as well. The living entity wants to enjoy material nature. The more he tries to enjoy, the more he becomes entangled in nature's complexities. And this is arranged by the three modes of material nature. Sattvam rajastami iti guna prakriti samarava nibbananti mahabaho dehe dehe. About a person who's engaged in devotional service. Mam chiyo vyabhacharin bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati chaitan brahmabhuyayata. When a person engages in devotional service to the Lord, sagunan samati chaitan, he transcends material nature. Mam chiyo avyabhacharin, an unalloyed devotional service. Not devotional service in which the modes of material nature are still visible, so that he's thinking, let me serve Krishna and get some money. Let me serve Krishna and get some fame. Let me serve Krishna and get revenge on my enemies. Let me serve Krishna and have a nice, quiet place in the forest. He simply wants to serve Krishna. No other purpose. Sagunam samiti chaitan brahmabhuyam. He transcends nature's influence and he's reinstated on the spiritual platform. This is all made possible by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one's consciousness becomes purified. One becomes eligible to transcend these modes of material nature and go home back to God. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions?
Maharaj, is it possible to become 100% in mode of goodness in this material world?
Is it possible to become 100% in the mode of goodness in the material world? No. That pure goodness is called Vishuddha Sattva. Vishuddha Sattva is transcendental. Pure goodness, if we come to the stage of actual pure goodness, that means we've come to the spiritual life. Because goodness in the material world is always adulterated. Never found in its pure state here.
As you said, you know, the living entity always behind sense gratification.
Please don't play the drum now, sir.
The living entity always behind the sense gratification. So how we can come out from this? What is the solution?
That you want sense gratification, then gratify Krishna's senses. You want to gratify some senses, but gratifying your senses doesn't work. The senses will never be gratified. They're ungrateful. We work so hard to satisfy the senses, and the senses never say, thank you very much, I'll never bother you again. They say, that was very good, now I want more, I'm not satisfied. So the senses are not satisfied and we're not satisfied. But when we take the other approach and try to satisfy Krishna's senses, our senses automatically become satisfied. Just like the hand, if it tries to keep the food in the palm and enjoy it, the project will be a failure. But when the hand puts food in the stomach, then the hand gets enjoyment also. Our program of trying to enjoy independently of Krishna will fail. But when we give enjoyment to Krishna, then we'll be happy, because that's what we're meant to do. Something else?
Maharaj, Shastra says there is 8.4 million species for the different design, but some species extinct.
Some
species, it's endangered and some extinct.
None of them are in danger. 8,400,000 species, none of them are in danger, but you may not see them in a particular place.
Maybe in some other planet.
Some other planet. There's so many places. What we see, don't see, we say now it's extinct. It's not extinct. How much can we see? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Pribhanande.